Hello.
Episode 809, Brain Candy Podcast. Hello.
I've never wanted to start rhyming more now toward, like, I feel like it was like hundreds.
That's not true. You've done that for every episode. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm just saying the last few weeks, it's been especially strong, the urge. And that was not like that a year ago. Or like 6 months ago.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. I don't know then.
What do I know?
I know nothing.
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to May, the merry, merry month of May.
Merry, merry month of May. Almost sneaking up on my trip to Costa Rica where I get to go do fun things. This is like a summer of adventure. I also have another trip planned.
Oh.
I did a little, you know, because Brain Candy, we have a vacation week.
Yeah.
You know? We allowed ourselves that. And I'm going to Aruba.
No.
To a kite surfing camp. No,
you didn't
I did
tell
not.
Me it was Aruba.
Because I was still deciding on a place, and I found a kite surfing camp there. And so, how many times do you think I am going to sing?
Yeah,
Kokomo. Kokomo.
Yeah,
I can't. Like every time I think about how I have a trip there, Aruba, Jamaica,
same.
Ooh, I can't think of anything else. It's gonna be. It's gonna be fun. I heard that it's an excellent place to go solo.
Wonder why? What are the criteria?
I have no idea. Like, just safe for female travelers.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
You know?
Sure sounds lovely and tropical.
Yeah. I can't wait. So I'm going to go on a little kite surfing
adventure.
Wait, but
what kind of camp? Is it like bunk beds or what?
No. Not camp like that. Like camp in the way that you wake up in the morning and, or it's like right on the beach and they have this little like lagoon area and you just roll right out of bed and have your little breakfast at the, it's like it is an Airbnb, but like a B&B, like bed and breakfast situation.
Right.
And then there's instructors and your gear rental also included.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I'm getting excited about. What about you, Suze?
The opposite. I'm excited about not going kite surfing camp personally. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Doing a whole lot of nothing.
Well, it's not nothing. It's right. Just not kite surfing in Aruba.
Right.
Yeah, right. We're going to England in June.
I love that.
And that'll be really nice because Adam hasn't seen his family since before the pandemic.
Wow.
Which is sad.
Lincoln is so, like, he's gone through such a that transition from, like, little boy to not little boy. Like, just kid. Like, preteen in a way.
He's excited.
It's huge. Such a big transition.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We went yesterday to the airport to get our global entry.
Oh, yeah.
Like credentials or whatever. And you know how it is, like the DMV. It's the people at Homeland Security have a similar vibe as the DMV employees.
Yes. And what is that vibe?
They don't give a fuck.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to. And so, yeah. Okay. I'm glad we're picking up on the same things.
But, you know, sometimes it's refreshing. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's funny. And we had a gal named Officer Hill. And she
That sounds like a made up officer name.
She was a real character. And she really wanted to bring Lincoln to the bring your kid to work experience that they're having on Thursday.
Like she's gonna borrow Lincoln
she's
as
like,
her
you
child
come because I was joking about how he wasn't coming to ours because we work from home, like what
right,
are we gonna
right.
do
oh right
and she's like
yeah what
wanna,
there's a lot you
she's
could
like
say.
You want to come here baby you can come here let me give you my phone number and she put her phone number down and was like insistent that we book this experience with her.
That's really cute.
Yeah, and she was like, dream big. She kept telling him to dream big.
Well, your experience was much better than mine. I this could be the vibe I'm bringing, but I felt like I was being in, like,
You were a terrorist.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You were
it could
profiled.
Be my relationship to people who have been on the terrorist watch list. Mom. Could be that. Actually,
that's
now that I think
don't
about
hear
it.
Every day.
Right.
Mom,
looking at you.
Yeah.
So could be that it's since been wiped from
you
her record. She's,
but, you had been flagged.
Yeah. Cause I have that feeling at every airport, like every time I always have this feeling of like,
they're on to you.
Yeah, this is the man trying to just like, and I sign up for all of it. Not only do I have global entry, but I also have Clear, where they do just like, they're basically like, let's take all of your bio, like, data and everything. Here, scan your eyeballs here. Here, have your finger. Like, and I'm doing it, but like, pissed about it.
Yeah.
Why do I pay them that much annually to be upset?
And you're the product.
And I'm the product. And I'm like, take my finger. Like, and then I'm like, I'm annoyed at that whole process.
And I'm starting to think that the regular line is shorter because everyone's in Denver, those special lines.
It is. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. That is, now I am 100% sure that was just to somehow collect
I feel scans. Like they need to do separate lanes. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist. I don't want to be with the Clear people.
Well, they do Denver. I want to be
only with the... What's the other one?
I see what you mean. Global Entry.
There's Global Entry. There's Trusted and Traveler, whatever.
Yeah.
I forget.
What
but
the hell is
pre-check,
that
TSA pre-check.
Yeah, TSA pre-check.
Those Clear people, they just bought their way in. I actually had to do a goddamn interview.
I know. I did that too. For Global Entry, I did that. Yeah. And I felt the same. I was like...
Those Clear people, they're just like, take my DNA, and then they get in.
Right. And they're like, hey, do you want a free trial? Don't do it, people. Don't do it.
Don't fall for it. It's a trap.
No. And now I'm stuck. It auto-renews every year. And I'm like, fucking A.
You're in too deep, Sarah.
I'm in too deep. Ugh. Okay. I have stuff, actually important things to talk about.
What could be more important, though, than what I'm about to tell you, which is that I got my song that I commissioned.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you listen to it yet?
Of course I did.
How much did you love
it? It's so cute.
Well, you're about to hear it again. Ready? Let's hit it. Okay, here we go.
That's right,
Bust a Move is my
and
favorite
then she goes,
line.
Groove is in the heart. It's more than I ever could have dreamed.
It almost makes me emotional. Like I'm getting teary-eyed.
L Sharp.
How special.
That was from Songfinch, and I chose L Sharp to write it. You can pick whoever from their list, and you tell them, you know, what style you want, up tempo, whatever. And then, like, you give them info about what you're hoping the song is about and maybe specifics about what you hope they do. And I told her I wanted, you know, a bunch of, like, references to one-hit wonders.
So genius.
And it was so much better than I could ever even dream. I'm like, well, that's a one-hit you're right. wonder. Wait, yeah. hold on. I mean, is that not the best?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop.
I love it. And now it's your song.
It's my song. It's on Spotify. If you want to download it, you can. It's called One Hit Wonder. Wait, but there's like parentheses. The parenthetical.
Let's write a song together, something like that.
Wait, let me look. It's called One Hit Wonder. Wait, I want to look. Oh, yeah, We Love You.
We Love You
is parenthetical. And she does all these cute references about Lincoln and Adam being like an English gentleman and like how he loves Patrick Swayze and Dirty Dancing. And Patrick Swayze wrote sang a one-hit wonder. She's Like the Wind.
I did not know that.
On the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. She's Like the Wind. You know that one. You know it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And he sang it, and that was even better because it was like a double reference. Anyway, my point is, it's so great. It's such a great service, and you can make...
She's trying to say it's very personal.
It really is, and you can make your own song for your own family member or yourself, and it could be a great gift, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Can you imagine, like, you could tell them about your partner and, like, why they're great, and then give them as a gift? I mean, and it was in, like, 2 or 3 days that thing was ready.
It's very fast. Yeah.
I was shocked. Okay. Listen, They have a deal. For a limited time, Songfish is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/braincandy and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/braincandy. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Yes.
Songfinch.com/braincandy. I am obsessed. Yeah, I've listened to it like 50 times.
Yeah, you're making a one-hit wonder on Spotify.
And it is an earworm. It gets in your head. Is it not great, Sarah?
It's so cute.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not. And it's adorable. I love it.
L Sharp, thank you for that. That was so... And I do. I get teary-eyed every time.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Anyway, as you were.
Okay, so what fun things do I have? I have an update on, or kind of like we're going to take the Marie Kondo method and we're going to upgrade it, like bring it into the future. So I saw this thing, this woman she's a professional organizer who is discussing how we need to do more than just ask the question of, does this spark joy? Especially in a world where we are trying to be more sustainable and people tend to like buy at a higher rate than we ever have ever before. She said, instead, try asking, do I want the job of managing this item? Do I want the job of man? Because everything has a job. It requires maintenance, management, organization, upkeep, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Right. And so when you purchase something, you mean?
Yes. When you purchase something or when you're decluttering and organizing, just going through your space and just how everything creates, in a way, like a burden or a responsibility, or there's a maintenance. There's a task that comes with owning, like this pen I have. If I have a whole bunch of pens, I have to manage where pens are.
Where are they going
to
go?
Too few pens? I'm like, I don't have enough, you know, whatever it may be. And that when you ask, do I want the job, for people who have a difficulty letting go of things, for people who have difficulty decluttering, or maybe the people who, like, if you're somebody like me, where you can see the potential in any item, there are a lot of things that spark joy. Right.
Yeah.
Like the potential of a craft project and like thinking
Hoarders
about.
Hoarders love crafts.
Love.
Or like the idea of a task. Or
so that
a
sparks
craft.
Joy. When I think about, oh, I have to say, because I'm going to use this for, I don't know, some weird craft project that I have.
Yeah,
that
Marie,
idea sparks joy.
She didn't
joy.
Think of that.
So this woman is like, we got to update that. And instead, if I said to myself,
that's a great.
Do you want the
change.
Job of managing this item? Nope.
That's a different question.
That is a totally different question. So then I was thinking about the other things that kind of, I don't know, go along with that. And one of the things that it helps with is decision fatigue, because it eliminates like the number of items you own. So having to then see it all the time and then be reminded of making that decision or like even reminded of the craft project you're not going to do, oh, that frees up mental space. Basically, I'm trying to like declutter my mind as I declutter my space, like spring cleaning, I guess. In so many ways. And then this also plays into like environmental impact as well, because you're more like, I don't know, aware of the things that you have to manage, or the duties that come along with what holding on to that item, getting rid of that item, what happens to that item.
Right. Everything that you own has its own responsibilities attached.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't specific enough. And a lot of people equate, they think joy and like pleasure and happiness are all synonyms, and they're not. You know? Because like what makes me feel good isn't the same as joy, which is more of like a state of being.
This is when we talked about pleasure versus enjoyment.
Yeah.
I think about that daily.
Yeah, those are two different things.
Yes.
And if you're dealing with a bunch of dummies, and so Marie's like just saying joy, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, this sweater makes me happy. But it's like, no. It's deeper, man.
Yeah. And there's also something called opportunity cost. So this is like the idea of like the cost in relation to owning the possession. So how much time is and energy is spent managing and maintaining the item versus, I don't know, but how energy could be used for pursuit of passion or like, you know, doing anything else that you want to freaking do.
Yeah.
Besides managing that item or.
But I always say, though, there is something that she doesn't talk about, which is that minimalist lifestyles are a privilege. And that when you do not have
100%.
When you don't have a lot of money, you'll keep something not because you believe you need it or even you want it, because because you think, I can't afford to replace that if I need it in 4 years.
Is it? I think it was Ali Wong in her stand-up special was talking about, there's some comedian who talked about having parents who were in, who were like refugees. Yeah. And how when you have get kicked out of your country, like by a dictatorship or whatever.
It may have been, who is the Asian Axel. I forget how you say her name, but she's like with the bowl cut.
Yeah, it could be that. I saw it recently and I was like, I think of that. That like you hold on to everything. You're like, I don't know when I'm going to need this.
Well, yeah. If you
get rid of my house, it will be ripped out of my fingers.
When I get rid of something, a lot of it is knowing if I do need it in 5 years, I'll just buy a new one then.
Yep.
Well, that's something you can't do if you don't have the resources. Right. So,
okay. So that was another thing that was kind of addressed and brought up in this discussion was an encouragement. Like we're trying to shift the focus into a more sustainable future in all ways. So by minimizing things, it can increase a community and sharing economy that we don't all have to have, I don't know, a sewing machine. You go to your neighbor's house and you borrow the sewing machine. Mm-hmm. Or we don't all have to have like
a lawnmower.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That if we engage in more of that communal sharing, mm-hmm. which I think is a really good idea. And I feel like we're going to have to go that direction.
Well, most people are shitty though, and don't take care of stuff. Yeah. But the library is great for that. Ours has a wonderful tool loaning program. You can get tools and
that's a very good example.
Yeah. Maybe let them handle it. You have
to put a little bit of work in and they get to do the responsibility of maintaining, managing that item.
Yeah. Cause I don't want to deal with these idiots.
And then you get to just use your time in other ways. And then when you actually need that item, then you get to manage it by checking it out at the library.
Mm-hmm. I've seen how you people keep your cars. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
You ever see
I can always tell a lot about where I am in my own mind by how my car. Well, we talk about this. That's this is the what's in your trunk.
Yeah. How's your car looking these days?
Pretty good.
Okay, good.
It's actually surprisingly empty. You'd think it was like very filled, but I recently I emptied it all. And I actually did the Goodwill run. You know the stuff I've been driving around with in the trunk for however many years?
Yes.
I went, this is silly. I went to I think I talked about this on here, when I went to the group psychic reading and for the bridal shower.
Yes.
And one of the things that she said to me in the very end was she said, like, Bo had showed up and was saying, why do you keep driving? Or you need to get rid of this stuff. She goes, do you have all the dog stuff in the back of the car, like her bed and stuff in the back of the car? And I had, in fact, been driving around. It had been like 6 months.
You mean to tell me you just dropped all that shit off at the Goodwill to get a new puppy?
I'm saying that I did that after she called me out on that. Okay, I dropped that off. And since then, I've maintained and I had more Goodwill stuff, you know, since then. But I kept that in mind and I was like, you know, got to get rid of the shit and you can't just drive around with it because Bo's like, what are you doing?
Okay, that I get, but you just said recently.
I love
recently
that I just said my dog is talking to me, and she's like, yeah, that I get.
I get doing it.
Yes.
But then the other day you said you might get a dog. Now you just donated it.
Well, I donated it back in October.
Did you really think you weren't going to get a new one at that time?
Well, I decided I cannot have the same stuff. I cannot have the new puppy laying on the, you know, for me or for like, I want it to be like fresh. Like if I passed away, I would hope that my family would get a new bed. Like they wouldn't like put the next person in that same, I don't know. It just feels like
too intimate.
Nobody wants to wear their dead relatives or like clothes.
Wow. Okay. I didn't think about
I don't know.
Well, maybe.
But not like the replacement. Like,
right.
You're like, if you get remarried. Here you go. Like, oh, no. Okay. No.
Fine.
Okay. I have more things to talk to you about today. Oh, I got so excited about this. I actually took a photo in front of it at the movie theater. Inside Out 2 is about to hit theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited.
Yes, me too.
Which means that you might see a redo of my Joy costume.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. But yeah. What I wanted to share that I thought was so cute that the movie did. So the Inside Out, the first one, ended with Joy saying, and Riley's almost 12, or Riley's 12. What could go wrong, or what could possibly happen?
Right, they were setting themselves up
for the sequel. Which I love, because Toy Story said, Buzz, what toy could be, what on earth could they get that could be worse than you? And they got a dog. And so this is like that again. And I love that what the creators of the film did, Inside Out 2, is they hired a team, like a what do you call them? Not a control group. What the fuck is that word that I know?
Focus
is like,
group.
Focus group. Thank you. They created like a focus group of teenagers, girls, nine girls that ranged from 13 to 19. And every 4 months they would bring them in and they would play them what they have done, like 30 minutes of the film. And then they would critique it and they would give their input. And they said that these girls got so into it and that it was so cute. I'm not a full-blown Disney adult, but I do ride... Why did you give me that face?
What would make you admit it?
You like, think I am?
What would you have to do to acknowledge it?
Oh, fuck. You're actually, when you asked that question, because I was going to say, like, I don't dress like that. And I was like, oh, fuck, I got Toy Story shoes. I got a whole look.
I want them to
am saying
just,
this
like,
surrounded
zoom in
by
Buzz
I know.
And Woody.
I failed to see... The irony.
You don't want to be a Disney adult stereotype.
Yeah. I was going to say I ride the line, but I may be the conductor of the fucking
Like, in what do you imagine them to be?
Disney like adults. Somebody who's like I'm not having my wedding at their like Disneyland, or I'm not getting proposed to at you know, Epcot Center or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't have like a seat annual pass, but I did. But that was I live in California.
Year.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
well, why
you know.
Do you feel it's stigmatized? You don't want to be a part of it.
Listen, I'm already a horse girl. I can't go like
too
full,
many things.
You know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not like that. It's all my friends are Disney people. Like
some
Disney
of her
adults.
Best friends are Disney adults.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. But you know, I just like what I'm saying is that I have my mind is rooted in reality and not in a fantasy world that I'm trying like escaping into, which sometimes that can be and it can serve as like a I don't know. Like in the same way there's extremes of everything, but like this perpetual like perpetuated like childhood or adolescence or whatever that gets in the way of adult responsibilities.
You're just an enthusiast.
I'm an enthusiast.
Not living in denial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
enough. Okay. What other stories do I have?
Marie I'll tell Kondo you what I have. Check. And that is a real moisturized skin thanks to Oak Essentials.
Oh my God.
That, this stuff
you
is
know
the
what?
Best.
Here's what I would like to say.
Okay.
I am somebody, and Susie and I talk about this off the air all the time, that I am not very good at treating myself to things about like taking care. Like I am like a, well, I don't need that. And my mom always reminds me of the story of one time my grandma was spending the night at my house and she didn't want to bother me for toothpaste. So she brushed her teeth with soap. Yeah. And I was like, Grandma, please burden me. What are we doing here? Treat yourself, for goodness sakes, lady. Right. So I like to also find a value in something. I don't want to just get something because it's like a luxury item and it feels amazing or smells wonderful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You also want the practicality.
I want the practicality of it. I have been using that body wash for 3 months. 3 months ago, I ordered that. It is only like 1/20th of the way done. I don't know if I'm ever going to run out of the stuff. Yeah, and I haven't got to that sweet spot where you like refill it the rest of the way with the water, like to make it last. Right. I am never going to have to do that. I really am like, okay, this is that thing where when you get something with really good ingredients, it actually,
goes a long way.
It goes a long way. Mm-hmm. That is, I thought about that just this morning when I took a shower. In fact,
this is the team behind Jenny Kane, which is our favorite sweater purveyor. And Ogie Essentials is like the Jenny Kane of skincare.
Yeah.
They have the Moisture Rich Balm, amazing for hydration, Ritual Oil Cleansing Balm, the Balancing Mist, Restorative Mask. All this stuff, if it's like a spa at your house, it'd be such a nice Mother's Day gift. I know your moms will love it, or your partner. And it's just such a nice refresh for your routine. Quality, luxurious self-care. They have a deal for you. Take advantage of this, okay? Treat yourself or someone else. Our followers get 15% off their first order when you use code BRAINCANDY15 at checkout. That's 15% off and a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code BRAINCANDY15. Go ahead and treat yourself. Unlock summer-like skin with Oak Essentials. OakEssentials.com. Really nice, like high-quality ingredients.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I love the double cleansing balm, too, or the cleansing balm. Mm-hmm. Okay, other little – this was also on my notes with Inside Out 2 stuff. Mm-hmm. Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling not going to return because of problems with pay. Like, they said pay inequity.
What?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
That two of the characters who voiced
inequity in what way?
Like they're not getting as much, either they're not happy with what they're getting for the sequel as compared to maybe other people. But then I think the other people are is Amy Poehler. And like,
what do you think that means?
I want to know give me the inside out story of that.
Right. Get inside
there's
out of
something
that.
There. Right. Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling both. And it had something to do with pay.
I'm surprised because he is outspoken about his challenges with anxiety. And like when Lincoln was getting help for different like OCD type stuff, they have like a video that he made where he talks about like his anxieties and like what it feels like. Oh. And like,
so he's if really anybody's going to be somebody who's a champion or cheerleader for like mental health stuff and kids, it would be him.
Yeah. So it must be real bad.
Right. You got to. Yeah. That's a bummer.
Interesting.
For how I don't like that they did that.
You mean the Disney people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got fucking Disney money. Shut up.
Yeah. That's why I need more info.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to drop at least $200 on merch and tickets and stuff, Inside Out to related paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And is it paraphernalia? I don't know. I just wanted to use that word. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're raking in the dough. Come in, throw some to Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling, but there's more to the story.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do I have? This was a fun little fact I learned. In 2001, a 13-year-old Boy Scout named Cody Clausen. Have you heard this story?
No.
Went missing in, well, maybe I haven't even gotten to the end. Went missing for over 18 hours in Yellowstone Park. And luckily he was a Boy Scout who was very skilled and knew exactly what to do in one of these situations. He used his belt buckle to signal a plane overhead and he got the pilot's attention. You want to know whose plane the pilot was?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
I was going to say, that's like the celebrity pilot, that the go-to.
Yeah. Look at this picture.
I'm glad it didn't make him crash. He's got a bad track record.
Harrison Ford with the kid in the back.
But he went down and picked him up?
Yeah.
That did not get the headlines all his crashes got. He was right.
Well, I think
mad.
This was pre-crash because this was in 2001.
Oh, okay.
And so crash. Oh,
why are you?
You
just
crashed one plane.
Reporting on this now.
Well, because it came up in as like something as like a fun fact, and I was like, that is a fun fact.
Sarah, that's so funny. You crashed one plane, and they never let you forget it. Okay, so 2001. He rescued mm-hmm. this boy. And then starting, like, I don't know, 2009, it was one of those dealies, kind of like when you see, like, an old person on the road and you're like, they need to retake their test. That's what happened to him, but in planes.
Yeah.
Where it was like, that is.
Oh.
I mean, but that's great, though, that worked with the belt buckle.
And, like, could you imagine if you come down and, like, Harrison Ford. It is fun when actors are heroic or do things like that. And he's not the first one. There have been other. There's some other actor.
Did you see your girl? What's her face? Mariska.
Oh my God! That was such a cute story that she was dressed up. She was wearing the badge, and she was like they were doing a scene, and an actual missing child came up to her, and because she was giving off obviously major cop vibes, and was like, help, help, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Except that photo that they're using that's floating around the internet, I watched that episode. And
Fatty Baloney.
That is a scene from the episode.
That is infuriating. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm 99% sure because I remember I had been on like a big Law & Order like SVU binge. And I had just seen that episode. And I was like, oh, I recognized that from the scene. I've recognized that.
Oh, my gosh.
That. So I'm pretty sure that that was that.
Okay. Well,
but
I guess
still, story, still adorable.
Less so.
Because there's not photo evidence.
Yeah, because I feel like it's pretend then. And it's just like a publicist. It was like kind of tall tale.
Why do we need tall tales about that? They don't need any more.
It got a lot of headlines. Mariska's publicist, I'm telling you.
Ripped from the headlines. That's what they always say. It's just funny. I'm like, I know there's a joke there. I can't get there right now, but there's a good one sitting in there somewhere.
Well, all right. But you say you like it when celebrities are like the good
Samaritan. Yeah, I do like heroic feats, and then you hear about like, but then I think it's always cool when that celebrity who does that also happens to be like an action. Like if The Rock saved me from drowning or something. Yeah. And then they're like doing what they do on the movies. You're like.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Did you watch the new Tig Notaro special? It's called Hello Again. It's on Amazon Prime.
Not yet.
And she opens with this whole story about how she had to go to the hospital, and instead of like an ambulance arriving first, it was a firefighter.
Oh, and I have you've seen that bit. I saw that bit. Yeah. And she's like, I get it.
When he scooped her up in his gigantic body and she's like dangling. That's when she was like, okay, I get it. I see what the hype is about.
I get it. Okay. Well, this is an excellent segue because that is a woman who swore off men who then saw the hype and then changed her mind. But in South Korea, the exact opposite thing is happening. Tell me. Have you heard of the 4B movement?
No.
Okay, so the 4B movement is something that is a far-left feminist movement that I wouldn't even call it far-left, but like a radical feminist movement in South Korea where women are fed up with rigid beauty standards. They're fed up with violence against women, femicide, revenge porn, dating violence, widespread surge in spy cam sex crimes, overwhelmingly mm-hmm. committed by men, and most of them just result in fines or suspended jail sentences if mm-hmm. prosecuted at all. So this trend or movement is becoming popular called the 4B movement, where they are, and it's shorthand for Korean words that all start with B, but they are swearing off. First, it's the refusal of heterosexual marriage, the refusal of childbirth, saying no to dating, and the rejection of heterosexual sexual relationships as an ideological stance and a lifestyle.
I mean, I get it.
I kind of get it. I get it too.
Right. I mean,
right.
I don't need a lot of explaining why they would feel this way.
Yeah.
Things aren't great for us.
Right. And it's like,
and from what I hear on the dating scene, it is a jungle. These bozos won't pay for anything. So right. like we got no equality, right? Like we still don't make any money. We still have to do all the work at home. But now all the dates are splitting the bill. What? Ladies, what have we done?
You know, I kind of got into a back and forth with my brothers about this the other night.
Okay.
Because they were confusing the word, like the idea of potential opportunities with equality. They were saying that like because women can do things that it's, and I was like, there's a difference between I have the ability to have a credit card and buy a home and equality.
You must be exhausted.
Susie, I'm so tired.
Because these boys, your brothers are real obtuse. Like they always act like they just can't get it. What?
I know.
And they're not stupid.
I know.
And yet they have like willful ignorance about like right. all this stuff
and
it might be crazy.
And I said just in like a throwaway kind of comment to my brother, like, how many times have you been asked to smile? And he goes, how many times have you been punched in the face? And I was like, by a woman or by a man? And he goes, by a man. I'm like, well, then yeah, it's men, again, doing it to other men. Like, that's not a good argument because it's still men being fucking dickheads.
I can't believe this. It's like,
I know. It's I need you to come over and argue for me, Susie, because I'm tired. I'm too tired. I'm fatigued. I'm worn out.
Well, I get the 4 B's. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, what do they think is going to happen through this movement, though? They're just saving themselves, or are they trying to like make changes or something? Are they hoping for systemic change? Is what
I think they just really want to live their lives autonomously.
In peace.
That is what they say.
I get it.
They say it has more to do with like the male stare and
I thought you were about to vape right then.
What?
She's putting on lip balm. I thought she was about to vape. I was like, let's go, sister.
No, man. I that'd be funny. Just right here. Just all of a sudden, like not even our 420 episode. Past 420.
Doing drugs.
Sorry. It's actually I don't even like I understand it is a drug, but I recently heard that they have removed marijuana from the DARE program.
Good.
I know.
They should also remove the DARE program.
Correct, because all that did was teach me about drugs and give me a cool shirt.
Yeah.
Now is the best, most ironic
God
shirt.
God bless them for trying, but like, can you imagine it? Literally anyone not doing like heroin because of the DARE program.
Right. I can't, guys. No. All they need to do is show like 4 episodes of Intervention. Done.
Ugh.
The end. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I need to see. The same way, if I ever feel like, Sarah, you got to get organized, I just watch an episode of Hoarders. And I was like,
gotta get organized.
Yeah, it helps so much. You know, I'm trying to like, it's like, I don't know. A lot of this has been organizational based. Like,
I love it. You're in like a real moment.
It's a spring
moment.
Cleaning thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
you
in a moment.
You want to live your best life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice. What does you that know. Look like to you? I'm just curious. Like,
what does my best life
yeah,
look like?
Yeah, like what would you idealize there?
Oh my God, in what way? Like stability and consistency, living okay. in a place that is, I like surrounded by nature where I can hear like birds chirping, because that is like really important. Like mm-hmm. I right now live in a city where I'm like across the street from the fucking football stadium. I hate it.
Yeah.
And then you get like right across the street. I mean, it's two blocks from the house, which is lovely if you want like football and want to go there, but I don't care about that. And instead I just can't park in my own neighborhood because you'll get ticketed for not having a pass or whatever in mm-hmm. that zone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that I just hate living. I was thinking about this a lot. I am not a city mouse. I am a country mouse. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, piece of nature. I'm looking for like Sound of Music style, spin in the arms and the, you know, on a mountainside.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think a life like surrounded by, and then just like stability and consistency. Like I just want a routine, and like I love the same old, same old.
Well,
like
I can like set that up for you.
Yeah,
that's my specialty.
It is your specialty. Yeah, uh-huh. I like going to like the same restaurant over and over, and you know the people there, and I like predictability.
Oh my gosh.
And then you pepper in some adventure on the weekends with some camping trips. And I told you, I'm going to get into fishing. Fly fishing.
Sarah's
fly
having
fishing
a midlife
time.
Crisis.
This,
about to,
yeah. No, I started I'm that getting book, back by the to way. The little girl.
I started reading The Feather Thief.
Oh, what do you think?
I love it. It's so good so
oh,
far.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm, almost done.
Are you reading it in like a paperback version?
No,
or
ebook.
On- E-book,
it's
okay.
from the library, yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
It's
okay.
really good. This heist.
Okay, I'm going to get it.
You really set the stage. I know.
I told you it was a great story, and I love how that is one of the only times where I've told you about a story on one episode.
Yeah.
Then there's been time between, and then I actually remember to follow up. Look at that, guys. 809 episodes. I knew I'd get here one day.
I mean, I brought it up, but...
Well, okay. But I had to get notes. I had to get, you know... No, I'm not this time. I mean, when I told you about that in one episode that okay. I was like, oh, let me find out the information.
Get the scoop. That's right. This has
I
been
got
a journey.
Scoop. This is
journey.
Like our third episode talking about
that's
it, really.
So true. And then the next episode, I'll tell you how that ends and if I recommend it.
Yeah.
So far, so good, though. Thanks for the tip.
Okay, good. Let's see. What other good tips do I have to give you? Oh, I have some old gossip.
Oh my gosh, wait, hold on.
Addicted to drama and you just can't stop it. Well, you better listen to old gossip.
Woo! Yeah.
Okay, so did you see the Dionne Warwick documentary?
Nope.
Okay, nope. So Dionne Warwick documentary, I can't
what
remember the name of it.
What made you watch it?
I did not watch it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about something that was in the documentary, but I thought you had seen it, so that's why I brought that up. But then,
okay.
I this is on my list of ones to watch because I really want to see this. So,
okay, I'm into it.
Let me get the right year.
Okay, that's what friends are for, everybody. This is so exciting.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this took place in 1990. So Dionne Warwick is looking at what's happening in music.
Okay.
Especially hip hop and rap. And she was like, I don't like what I see.
Why?
So, because she is not liking how they're talking about women. She's just not liking the language that's being used. She's not liking the objectification of violence and all the bad stuff.
I hear that. Okay.
So she's like, I'm calling a meeting. And
oh,
Dionne Warwick calls a 7 a.m. meeting where she invites all of the biggest names, prominent figures in hip hop, including...
Is Tupac there?
And
Biggie.
Ice-T, Tone Loc, MC Hammer, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I had on my list.
Okay,
who else?
Yes, love it. Great. And she's like, hey, everybody, we're
And she's
meeting.
Like, you know what she did? She said, call me a bitch to my face. You like to sing about that and rap music?
Dion.
Call me a bitch. And she said, because you guys will have daughters. You will have wives. And you will have daughters who come to you one day and they will say, Dad, did you really talk like this to Mom? Did you really do? And you're going to have to explain them yourself.
Wow.
And Snoop Dogg said, his quote was like, we were powerful at that time, but she had been powerful forever. And so they listened and they were scared of her and they all arrived at 6:52. Every one of them. Because they're like, we are not going to be late for her. And
wow.
So since that meeting, Snoop Dogg said to her that she took something along the lines of like took the rough stone that he was, the rock he was, and helped polish him in to be like the diamond.
Oh my God.
Something like that.
Dion.
And ever since that meeting, it almost makes me emotional talking about it because it's so wonderful. Ever since that meeting, Snoop Dogg said he made a point to only put out records of joy.
No way.
Yes.
Wow. Good for you, Dion.
I thought I was getting a clap for the story, but also.
And also that, because I didn't know this. This is great.
That's why it was old gossip. I wrote old gossip.
And it was so consequential. She had an impact.
Yeah, it worked. And it's amazing. And I think that that is the kind of mentorship that's so wonderful in the you know, in any sort of like artistic community or in, you know, in industry, in the music industry or whatever, that is somebody using their experience and their power and their, I don't know, like brand or influence in such a great way that has such a like rippling effect. And now do you see the kind of guy that Snoop Dogg is? And it makes sense. Like he really, he's a good guy.
And maybe you could tell your brothers, no man has ever had to have a meeting with a bunch of female artists asking them to please not use violent language about men.
Right.
And also, like, nobody has had to say to me, like, in my whole life, like, you might have a son one day. You should treat men better. Like, why do we have to, like, conceptualize a daughter?
Right.
Or, like, you have wives, you have... Nobody has had to do that for telling women. We get it. You don't treat them like that because that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why we have to say that. But if that's what it takes, Dion, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. Let's clap it up for Dion.
And clap it up for Sarah for bringing us some old gossip. I love it.
Oh,
what a treat.
There you go. You're welcome.
I mean, I do... wonder how that became like a cultural component of certain musical genres.
I know exactly how. This is going to be one of our future book club documentary picks, but we will be listening to or watching the documentary Tough Guys.
Yeah.
G-U-I-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down exactly how this happened. This was a white music industry head of these big music companies. What the fuck is the word that I can't think
record
of?
Record label?
Yes, record labels. Thank you. These are the heads of, these are white male heads of record labels saying, this is the image that we want to portray. And you can think back to 50 Cent's album cover with the Kevlar vest on, and that is like the image and message that they're put that it was it's a very like manufactured thing that is
what
through
about the lyrics,
lens
though?
Of what
about the lyrics, same or because it seems like that's more of an artist's choice, and a lot of the lyrics, you know, people always talk about in like rap and hip-hop culturally.
I think lyrics too. Because I think that there are a lot of other artists that have a positive message that are not that. Most Def, Common, Atmosphere, like all these guys are very, the Roots, you know, they're, but those aren't the things that make it to the top of the, those aren't the, they don't get the money behind.
I think Dion should have another meeting.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, probably with the record executives.
Did they say that there was any pushback? Were any of them like, no. Fuck you, Dion?
Nope.
You dumb bitch.
The exact opposite.
What? Susie.
No, the exact opposite. They were like, she is right, and thank you for teaching me, and we needed a little bit of a slap in the wrist or, you know, kick in the butt or whatever you call it.
Okay, good job, Sarah.
Yep.
I love it.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, what else? Do I have anything else? Oh my God. I read this headline. I'm just going to do my best with telling you about this because this is basically like the plot to Interstellar in a way of how like it's so, awesome. I don't know, confusing, I guess, but also, well, I'll just say. So the headline was something along the lines of scientist has made discovery proving that we are not proving, but supporting, further supporting the idea that we are a simulation.
No.
I know. And it's really, so I'm going to try to break. So this physicist named Melvin Vopsum claimed that he found evidence for a new law of physics called the second law of infodynamics. And I know you're going to be like, Sarah, you've already lost me. And so how he learned about this was he studied the mutations of the SARS-CoV-2, like basically COVID virus. And it's mutating so quickly that he was able to look at certain elements of how the virus has mutated.
Yeah.
And he's discovered that they're not as random as one would think. It goes against this idea of how traditional entropy works, which is like all the different possibilities, everything existing at one time, and anything could be anything. Here are all the potentials. Mm-hmm. And it's saying that what instead happens is as time goes on, the amount of useful information decreases. And instead of evolution being a result of natural selection and mutations that occur randomly over time, he says it's really has more to do with, again, this is so hard to even like discuss or put into words, but that we run out of other possibilities in the same way that a computer, you run the same program for a while, begins to run out of possibilities, and they naturally kind of fall into these categories. And
why do you think why does he think that supports a simulation?
So
I know these people are smart and know way more than me, but
so the it suggests that because it implies that the universe behaves in a way that resembles a computer program. The essence is that the way that potential and outcomes in the universe that we can witness operates fits closest to or lines up with how a computer program runs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which would then create a unified theory. Like,
and so does this comfort you?
Or not really.
Disturb you?
No, more just like makes things like funny coincidences make more sense. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, let's run this computer program in my favor, I guess. Kind of mad at the, like, operating system. Whoever's playing my game needs to fucking...
Okay, so get you better. Feel like some doofus is in charge of your controller.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how. I don't know anything more than that. It's something that we can't even wrap our heads around. It's the same as like explaining the iPhone to a caveman. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm going to be able to get hints about it that relate to whatever is within my realm of like.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this is how you talk to somebody far away. I can like get that, but I can't like, that's about it. Like I get this is a simulation, but I couldn't tell you who's running it or what, how the hell it's happening or anything like that. That's my.
Whenever I mentioned to you how that Robert Sapolsky had a new book out and it was about how he is arguing that we don't have free will and that we're nothing that we do is
right
by our own choice. I have thought about it so much.
Shit, man.
Because, you know, that is, too. It turns everything that we believe about the human experience on its head. But it's to actually.
Maybe that's freeing.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, maybe it is, there's a relief because, there.
Like,
it's not my fucking fault.
Yeah. Remember when, I think he said Sarah Silverman said it, something along the lines of like, I can't control everything, or I can't control everything. Like
nothing matters.
Oh, nothing matters.
Yeah,
nothing matters, or nothing matters.
Right.
It's like, the same as like I can't control everything versus I can't control everything.
Mm-hmm. It's liberating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like kick back and enjoy the ride, you know. And then like when you add everything else to you, that so many, I don't know, like philosophers talk about like. Resistance not being helpful at all, and the more we try to like resist things and we just have to kind of surrender and go with the flow, that kind of feels like, you know, everything, every religion, oh, it's in God's hands, oh, Jesus take the wheel, oh, blah, blah, you know, this is our destiny, oh, this is like it is written and so it is, and as is on heaven is below, whatever, all that stuff, we keep going,
yeah,
all of that fits
right.
How does it leave you feeling?
I mean, I can get there. I can get what you're saying. It's unnerving, of course.
Yeah, that's the right word.
Because we believe we're in the driver's seat. But it's like when you have like a steering wheel on those kids' carts at the grocery store.
And they're like doing big arms. And then in my head, I'm thinking, if you actually drove a car like that, that thing would run off the road.
You're a terrible driver.
You're a terrible driver.
Right. Like we think we're driving this grocery cart, but really like.
Dude, did you know we were gonna go on like this like philosophical journey?
I should have known though because Marie Kondo invites it. I swear.
Oh my
that
god,
lady
that lady
brings
so
it out.
Funny,
in me.
I was not that. Yeah,
she works me up.
Okay, and you start thinking, you start going big picture.
Cause she pretends like she's all like, "What? Innocent?"
Right. Right. Meanwhile, she's like, "Buy my storage container."
Yeah.
But don't be wasteful.
And she calls it a system.
Right.
Why are you calling it that, Marie?
Yeah, we should come up with a system.
We really should. And just say a bunch of stupid stuff. Like,
Susie and Sarah, system for success.
For real.
There
I
we
do
go.
Feel like that is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, we also talked about.
Oh my God, I forgot we were wrapping up.
We also talked about Inside Out 2, Disney adults. That Sarah is not. One, despite the evidence.
I don't know what you are talking
you
about.
You got a friend.
Wait, if it
in
works
me.
Right now, that'd be great. No.
Didn't. It hurt. What happened to your Woody?
It.
Yeehaw. There's a snake in my boots.
Yeah, it only works if I. He's old. Because I bought him on eBay because there are only. Only the first edition. Okay, I might be a Disney adult.
Yeah.
Only the first edition. Or the first run of these had the original, what's his name? I almost said Tim Allen. What the fuck is his name? Tom Hanks. And the rest have his brother doing the voice. So I wanted to get the one that is the original voice. So I had to buy it used on eBay. And the options are new in mint condition for like a fucking bajillion dollars. Or this one for like 30 or 40.
Howdy, partner.
It's good enough.
That only works at a certain angle. So that's fine. I say fine. And someday maybe I'll, like, somebody will come along and repair it for me. And, yeah, so.
I bet you he thinks he's controlling that.
Yeah, and then Susie got me this. This is
fun. Aww, look how cute that is.
Yeah.
I got more, she's not a Disney adult, though, okay? So but, don't, you know, don't like, get any ideas.
Totally, not at all. Don't get any ideas.
For B movement. Yeah. I think we're all on board with this.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Wonder why South Korea in particular has had it.
Beauty standards.
Like, well, it's like that when the Kardashians say that, though. I'm like, are you the problem?
Right. That's where all the
victim,
right, products.
Because
right.
K-beauty.
It's perpetuated. It's like, yes, exactly.
Those people love a face mask.
They do. They
they cannot get enough of it. They would love Oak Essentials, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Dionne Warwick, voice of reason.
Yep.
Thanks
for
your
service.
I love
that I got to tell Susie old gossip that she hadn't heard yet, too.
Me too.
I had thought you had already seen that documentary. What a treat for me.
Is it new?
I think new-ish, within the last 3 months.
Wonder where, Apple TV or what?
Netflix? No, it's not Netflix. No. It's maybe it's Prime, Amazon Prime.
I get real mad when I miss one. Uh-huh. I really try to stay on top of these things. Dionne Warwick documentary. She deserves
one. Yeah, Prime Video.
I wonder if in the documentary.
It came out in 2021.
I wonder, do you think they talk about Psychic Friends Network?
What? What? It's called Don't Make Me Over.
Hmm. Yeah. Wasn't she the one that was the face of the Psychic Friends Network?
I don't remember.
Now. She was the celebrity endorser.
I don't remember that.
I think so.
Oh, you're going to have to watch.
What'd you say it was called? Don't Call Me Esther or something?
Don't Make Me Over.
Don't Make Me Over. Don't Make Me. That's a weird name
for it. Oh, it says HBO Max.
I'm on it. I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening and for using our codes. You people need a Songfinch song in your life.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to hear them all.
It's
so
fantastic.
Cute. You will cry. Guaranteed.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.